Hello, everyone. This is The Flashcast, an unofficial podcast about the CW's The Flash. I'm Stephen Bueno.
I'm Patricio Cabrera.
So in this podcast, we're actually going to be talking about every week's current episode of The Flash and talking about, giving a little bit of an analysis about what's been going on, talking about what's been happening in season one, what's been leading up to this new season, and we're not going to include too many spoilers from the comic books. Like, some of the source material might be close to what the show's kind of using for reference, so we're going to try to stay away from certain spoilers, but we will give some backstory and some of the characters or some of the stuff we know. I'm personally a big fan of the show, both The Arrow and The Flash, and I've read a bit of the comics. I read more like ancillary information that I find online, not necessarily issue per issue. So I'll try to include a little bit of that. And Christian, you're...
Yeah, I'm also a big fan of The Flash and The Arrow shows since they first came out on the CW. I'm actually, I would say, well-rounded on the actual fact of the comic books, but I'm really going to try not to include a lot of crazy things from the comic books because I don't want it to either be a spoiler or also at the same time actually be something that's going to be a plot point later on in the actual future episodes.
Yeah, because at the end of the day, we're still, we're both very big fans of the show, and we don't really, like, want to include things that might be there. We want everyone to just enjoy it as it comes. That being said, we're going to be talking about this week's episode, which is The Man Who Saved Central City. So let's start off with The Flash and his dream, or his, I guess, like, I wouldn't call it a daydream necessarily, but I guess what could have been.
I kind of see it that as it was like a dream sequence. He's facing off against Captain Cold and Heat Wave, which is pretty much his two main adversaries the whole entire time throughout the series, which is actually great. Actually, those two guys are really good together.
Yeah, the brothers from Prison Break. Yeah. I really like that casting. And one of the interesting things that I saw, which was the fact that, like, from all the promotional material and from everything I've read about the season, is that it's going to deal heavily in kind of other dimensions. Like, all the promotional material deals with that. So do you think that that introduction or that beginning sequence, you think that might have been something that happened in another dimension?
I could see it as that being from another dimension. It's just it's personally seen as technically a dream, but we don't know that yet, which is great, actually. We don't know if it's going to pop up again later on or more of these occurring dreams as we're so-called calling them right now. But I don't know. We'll see. It's only been episode one, though.
Flashes to another time. Flashes to another place. Mm-hmm. Now, flash forwarding a little bit, you do see the Flash kind of he's not particularly invested in, like, being around people. He's pretty down on his luck from what happened with Ronnie during the big, like,
the singularity,
there you go, that happened at the end of season one. And it was very interesting to go from, like, oh, okay, everything's cool, everything's campy, everything's nice, and then you see Star Labs empty and just him there. Yeah. Now, what did you kind of think of the Flash taking this more angsty role, you know, more introverted, I guess.
Yeah, it's not really a strong suit of the Flash on that point, due to the fact that he has friends that have actually got him through the whole entire season, from the first season, showed him how to defeat metahumans and also get through certain crises.
Now, Team Flash, man, they're a big thing, dude.
Yeah, and then what tripped me out too is the fact that when it was empty, it was dark and there's, like, no lights inside, and then he had, like, a bunch of letters past due. It could be, I don't know if they're bills or...
That actually caught me off guard for a second, because I was like, oh, is this guy receiving mail at Star Labs? Like, what's going on here? Mm-hmm. And then later on in the episode, you see this lawyer talking to him, like, oh, well, Harrison Wells left you Star Labs, but you still have to, like, pay for everything.
Yeah.
And, you know, one of the things, speaking of Harrison Wells, man, throughout the first season, we, like, see him as this huge villain, and, you know, he's supposed to be one of the Flash's greatest nemesis, but it was weird to see him do something for Barry. What do you think about that, man?
It's weird to think about it, too, because he mentioned it plenty of times in the first seasons. For those who haven't seen it, please watch it, okay, by the way. So he does tell him, like, I'm pretty much here to train you, which is ridiculous, which is the main topic of what Harrison Wells stood for. Is like, I have to train you so I can get you to do what I want, because I need you to become the fastest person to actually send me back, which is ridiculous.
You know, it's weird to think that he Harrison Wells, or well, I guess the Reverse Flash, or Ubarthon. I guess he was selfish in the pursuit of, like, trying to get back to his own time. But at the same time, with him giving Barry the pretty much everything he needs to get his father out of jail, it just sort of shows that maybe he changed as a character. While he might have initially started as a villain, he eventually became... I think he started caring for Barry Allen once he started getting to know him, because as an enemy, he didn't really consider him anything but an enemy.
Yeah, because most superheroes, when we actually see them, they've usually had somebody that has either mentored them or actually got them through what they're supposed to be as they are in the actual comic books. This is actually a strange one where it comes to, like, a major villain who actually has been trying to kill Barry Allen, is actually helping him become better at what he needs to be.
You know what it also reminded me of? It also reminded me of Batman Begins, how Liam Neeson turns out to be Ra's al Ghul. That's exactly what it reminded me of when I was watching the episode. I'm like, ain't that some... Now, another thing I did want to kind of touch upon is that all of a sudden you see Central City finally embracing the Flash.
Yeah.
With the Flash Day Festival. I was waiting for something to go down during the festival, because you just can't throw a big celebration and not expect something. Like the Spider-Man Day in the, what, third Spider-Man movie, where everything just goes downhill.
God damn.
I'm trying not to reference other things. Exactly. It just reminds me of other things.
Yeah, exactly. Marvel from DC. Oh, my God.
But yeah, that's what I was saying. Like, it's weird to think of a city that fully embraces that. Because if you watch something like The Arrow, which both shows have completely different, like, moods and atmospheres and worlds. Yeah. But in The Arrow, it's, like, very anti the vigilante. And then The Flash, everything's a little bit happier, a little bit more campy.
But more, like, fantasy-like, too, if you think about it, too. It's like, oh, this metahumans, these guys got powers. Like, oh, how are we going to deal with that?
While in like the Arrow series, it's sort of like, well, there's just regular people that are well trained.
Yeah.
Well, I guess they have the Super Soldier Serum or whatever, like Mirakuru, which is like the DC solution to the Super Soldier Serum.
Yeah.
And it's just so dark, and the city doesn't accept, you know, the Arrow the way Central City has accepted the Flash.
Mm-hmm.
I'm kind of interested in seeing how else they're gonna, now that he's become this figure, how else is gonna affect them. Because now people can be like, hey man, I was in deep trouble and you didn't help me, like, we know you're an actual thing, man.
Mm-hmm.
Do you think that'll be a plot point later on in the series?
It could be a plot point later on in the series. If you think about it, they've done already crosses with Arrow and Flash, which worked out really good. And not only that, if you think about it too, they're two major cities actually not that far from each other, which is great. Central City on one side, you got Starling City on the other. And also what I do like the fact is they're going to add more cities to them, which is great, but I'm not going to mention the other ones because you guys need to find out.
Yeah, that's it's interesting seeing like how many more DC properties are going to start adding into it, because honestly, the CW has been knocking out of the park with these like live action shows, man. While Marvel might have a great cinematic universe, DC has always been able to like etch its own little niche inside animation. Like, DC animated movies are great, man.
Mm-hmm.
And now watching the CW kind of take care of these, start bringing out these shows, it's really cool. Cause I mean, pretty soon we're going to have Legends of Tomorrow. So it shows a true investment in a true willingness in CW to be like, you know what, we're just going to pump money into this because it's their hit shows. And I think when we started watching The Flash, we didn't expect it to be as big as it got.
No.
I wanted it to, because The Flash has always been a really funny and a really quirky little character. And even though a lot of his stuff tends to like revolve around time travel, and I hope that doesn't become like the only plot device.
No, I don't think so. It has a lot to go through. There's a lot to his comics and universe, which I'm not going to get into detail with. per se. But eventually there is going to be a lot of things where his powers and abilities will need to be actually at his fullest, and when it will be showing later on, which I hope it does, because he did do a lot of the stuff that he normally did start to learn, and it's actually evolving, which is great.
So one of the things that we had was Atom Smasher. That was this week's villain. And I'm always a little annoyed in that you're always like, well, the Flash is super fast. Just because you're like super strong, you shouldn't really be able to like catch him per se. But I mean, that's something that's always bugged me. Mm-hmm. I don't know if that's ever bugged you to any extent.
Oh, since I've actually read some of the comic books, like some of these villains, I'm like, okay, it makes sense on some of them. Like Atom Smasher, for instance, he saw on the show, he absorbs radiation. That actually gives him his ability to either grow, run, move faster, stronger, everything else. So if he absorbs enough, he's capable of being as fast as the Flash, which is crazy.
Now, one thing that's interesting, and I'm not going to mention too much of it, because some of the people that might know a little bit of the Flash characters and a little bit of the secondary characters might know what these characters will eventually be or who they'll eventually become. But I do kind of want to say something about Cisco, and it's really cool seeing Cisco tinkering with gadgets right now, and seeing exactly kind of inclinations of how central he might eventually be. Now, Cisco is a great character in just the way he is, and the fact that he's kind of like, he's that comic book fanboy character that I think people would just enjoy, because he's the one that gives these characters the nicknames. He's the comedic relief. He really is. To me, he's the perfect secondary character, or like, yeah, secondary character in The Flash, man.
Yeah, he's the joy in the actual, what we see in the actual comic books, which is great, actually, in the TV show. What we don't usually see is the fact that he actually has his flashbacks, which actually, I believe,
there's one in the episode, yeah.
Which I know for a fact will play a huge role in this season, because this is where we're actually discovering he may or may not have a certain power, but I'm not going to say if it is or isn't.
There's a lot we're not going to say.
There's a lot that's going to happen.
But people are welcome to read up on these things, man, because there's definitely juicy bits, man, that you want to like know about. And yeah, Cisco's an interesting character, because even in the first season, when Harrison Wells tells him like, well, no, you're a little different, man. Mm-hmm. You're not just a regular dude.
No, he's not.
Like, that's why he was able to remember everything that happened that time that Barry had like traveled in time.
That time once.
Now, here's the thing through the episode that I kind of hoped they would address, but they never really brought it up too much. Eddie, man, and how Iris feels about that.
There's one tidbit that mentions that, and it's, you see Iris in the police station. She goes there, hugs her dad, and she looks at the wall, and there's pictures of actual, that's the fallen heroes pretty much, and Eddie's in the very center. Which is crazy, because she just sees it for a little bit, kind of like gets a sad look, and then smirks it off and just walks away.
I thought they would address it, not maybe heavily invest in it, but I thought they might mention it just a little bit.
And that's another thing too. They didn't really mention like how much time has passed right by since the singularity.
Yeah, I kind of had a problem with that too.
Yeah, because that may actually be the reason why she might have just like swept it off, which if it was like a few months, and that should be, that actually seems manageable.
Well, see, and it's weird, because the only real reference you have for time is the fact that Barry's been rebuilding local businesses and stuff like that. Mm-hmm. And you don't really know how long he's been doing that, how many businesses he's been doing, but you just know that he's like trying to rebuild the city. And to an extent, I think it's his way of dealing with the guilt from not being able to save Ronnie, man.
Yeah, the Ronnie part is huge in that one, because you also notice throughout the episode, too, you don't see Caitlin very often. She was seen once during the actual festival, and then never really seen again after that. It took maybe until like the last 15 minutes into the episode where you actually get more interactions with her, and you see her feelings towards what's going on, which is... actually is weird because
she really does blame herself for what happened to Ronnie, man.
She's the most emotional character actually throughout the whole series, which is crazy.
Yeah, if you think about it. From the first season onwards, since the first episode, she was just angry.
And she seemed very unfazed after a while, which is kind of, well, it's her way of coping, which is great. And seeing that she is actually like moved on, which is actually great because everyone pretty much has seemed to move on. But I think Barry's the only one technically not moving on because he feels responsible for everything.
Yeah, he's kind of under this whole like, well, I am this super being that's supposed to be there and help. I'm the only one that really can. And he kind of falls in this whole thing of like, well, I couldn't. This time I really couldn't do anything. Even the thing he was doing that he thought was helping wasn't enough. And, you know, I honestly think that that Ronnie's just caught in another dimension. Or just caught somewhere else, because if they keep the for a second I forgot the professor's name.
I always keep forgetting his name too.
But yeah, I always remember the other half, which is Ronnie.
Yes.
The younger, hipper half. Mm-hmm. No, but I feel if they keep that character around, it's probably because Ronnie's gonna make an appearance.
He has to make an appearance because they are not supposed to be able to survive that long without each other. But I forgot in the last season that they did something. The device that's actually on Ronnie, which is great, actually helped keep them both together to actually stay alive, which is great. But I don't remember what it was called. That's the only thing.
Yeah, and it's interesting seeing like you start seeing little bits and pieces, and even from the last season, you saw a little bit of what Caitlin is like, what's eventually gonna happen to her, and you saw like maybe a character she's going to become, and I'm just interested in seeing what's gonna happen now with Iris. And one of the things that I'm interested in seeing also is what's going to happen with Barry's dad.
Yes.
Because throughout the episode, we see that he finally gets released from prison. Mm-hmm. But instead of sticking around and wanting to really have quality time with the son, it sort of felt like while he said that he wanted Barry to like be his own man and mm-hmm. make him proud, it felt like maybe he had something else going on.
Kadima, man. That's the main word that was mentioned by the professor. It means forward, which is a Hebrew word for forward. It's pretty much everyone moving on, going forward with their lives, even though Barry's dad's been in the prison for 14 years, which is an insane amount of time for actually a murder he didn't commit, which is great because Barry finally got to see that Wells actually made a confession, which is great, and actually got him released, which is, ooh, that part right there actually was a huge plot point in the actual show, but it was too small of a tidbit. It just should have been actually bigger than that.
I guess I wouldn't even know what the writers are thinking of, but I guess at the moment they're just kind of like, all right, let's cut ties with some of the stuff from the first season and let's like start new. But I really did want to see what was going on with the dad character. And I get a feeling that he might come back later and serve as a bit of a plot device in later on in the season. Mm-hmm. Like, I just can't see him leaving prison and then all of a sudden like being gone. Mm-hmm. Someone that was so big and so integral in Barry's motivations, I can't see that character just disappearing.
Oh, no. You can't. It's impossible.
I'm predicting that we're going to see him a bit more later on this season.
Oh, yeah.
There's another character that we're seeing that we hear about at least once from Atom Smasher, and that's Zoom, man, who I think is pretty much going to be the main character, the main villain throughout this season.
Yes.
Because for those who don't know, we're just going to say a little bit, like Zoom is actually a pretty big villain in the Flash universe.
Mm-hmm. He's one of the biggest ones that's not a Reverse Flash or Captain Cold, which is his two like really biggest ones. Zoom is like one of the most adversaries. I think he's defeated him many, many times. And this is one of the ones that he actually gets stumped on the most.
I know there was, like, from reading things online, there was a lot of excitement about that character being present in the show. Yeah. So you finally hear his name for the first time. And one of the coolest things that Atom Smasher tells him is, like, he promised to take me back home. Mm-hmm. And that's kind of one of the things that I feel like that's the little tidbit that's leading on to later on in the seasons. Yeah.
This
season, at least.
Yeah, it's insane that the fact that there's a possibility that wormhole actually opened, well, the singularity opened a rift and actually kind of combined the universes into one and actually opened them all up so people can go freely in and out, but I don't know how freely.
Because we've already, well, we've seen Adam Smasher, that he's clearly from somewhere else. And now we see also at the end of the episode, which he had a great introduction.
Yes.
The character that was following Barry around the whole time, which was Jake Eric. Now, he's been in like all this promotional material, and his, you see his hat at the end of season one. Where was it Reverse Flash looks at it and he's like, yeah, that's my cue to leave.
Yes, because it's a really good cue, because Jake Eric is a one good mention. I'm not going to mention what his actual name is yet, because I may mention in the next one, but the fact is he is one of the next most pivotal characters that should be coming through this whole entire thing. He opens the idea that there's going to be trouble, and he's pretty much here to help. I'm most likely here to help, or here to kind of like cause even more chaos, but we don't know yet.
Yeah, we don't really know exactly what he's going to be doing. We just do know that he's going to be a very central character. Now, one thing I did want to say about him is I loved when he entered the room, and because Cisco just finished giving out this whole speech of like, dude, everything's upgraded. We've got like... we've got new security systems. No one's just going to be able to walk in. And just see the dude walk in. And he's like, in. For real? I loved his reaction, man. Like, if anything, that was my favorite little part of the episode.
Yeah, and this is the first time you see, I think, everybody together, too.
Yeah, they're finally all back in one under one roof after after Barry had pretty much just kind of told them all to go away. Because at the end of the day, like I said, it's... I feel like Barry just feels guilty, man, and he doesn't want these people to get hurt under his watch.
Oh no!
Because I think along with the powers, Barry's like, you know what? Because I have these, I have to protect everyone. Mm-hmm. Now it'd be interesting to have him go into like the Arrow universe and just see like, you know, Oliver. He's like, he's fully aware that he can't save everyone.
No,
there's a lot of people. Like when you really think about it, there's a lot of people that die.
Yeah, there's a lot of people that died. Hence why, actually, at the end of the season, he left Central City. I mean, he left Starling City, my bad. He left to... How was it? He just kind of left.
It
was Port City, I think it was, like Newport City.
One of the coolest things is, and why I mentioned the Arrow so much, is because I'm waiting to see in what way the Arrow weaves into the Flash this season.
Yes.
Because the Flash is talking about alternate dimensions. Well, then... will it be alternate dimensions that also pertain to the Arrow?
We don't know that.
That's actually, to me, that's one of the most interesting like things to like speculate about. Mm-hmm. But yeah, if you guys wanna come speculate with us, we're gonna be taking care of this podcast from now on. So every week we're gonna be talking about the latest episode of The Flash. Mm-hmm. And if you want, you can also head on over to Filmbook. That's film-book.com. And if you want to send us an email with questions and comments, just go ahead and send that over to podcast@film-book.com. If you listen to this on iTunes, go ahead and rate and review.
Yes, please.
And we hope you like what we're doing. Have a good one, guys.
You guys have a good night.